This is Express FM.
Supported by City of Portsmouth College. Find your brilliance.
Wait for the whistle to blow. And we are underway on Express FM.
For the fans, by the fans.
The atmosphere around Fratton at the moment is great, and that's spilled over into the training ground, and the boys are very, very positive.
Giving you a voice.
Everyone has a smile on their face. It's going really well, and it's up to us to keep that, even in a tough moment.
This is the Football Hour.
And it's a good one.
With Jake Smith.
It may be the 1st of April, but don't be fooled. Pompey is still top of league and still flying high.
Chipped in. Bishop trying to get there. Lonvick heads away. Sadie! It's into the net! And Portsmouth have a third. Christian Sadie. The ball came back to him. It was an effort of power over precision. And Christian Sadie is on target yet again for Pompey. It's Wickham 1, Portsmouth 3.
This evening, we'll be getting the lowdown on another victory for Portsmouth men away at Wickham on Good Friday. Colby Bishop Brace and a Christian Sadie second half strike giving the Blues a 3-1 victory at Adams Park. We'll get the reaction to that one and a preview, of course, of the next fixture. Derby County await the Blues at Fratton Park tomorrow evening in front of the Sky cameras. And between now and 7 o'clock, we're going to get reaction to that game, not just from myself and our two studio guests, but also stand-in head coach John Harley, with John Massino sent to the stands following suspension. He gave his assessment of Friday's game.
I just look at the group, the characters within the group, they all know what it means to the club as a whole to go and kick on them for what we want to achieve this season.
And as we mentioned, Derby County coming down to PO4 tomorrow evening. Promotion is within touching distance for Portsmouth with just 6 games remaining. Is this upcoming test against Derby the biggest game of the season? Tonight we'll hear from a returning John Massino.
I think there's added intensity, I suppose, to this game because it's first versus second, because it's under the lights, because it's on Sky. So yeah, there's plenty of factors, I think, that feed into that. To be honest, every game from now until the end of the year for us is going to be the biggest game of the year.
Get in touch with us Blues fans. The Express FM app, download now from your iOS or Android app stores. Text your name and message starting with the word Express to 81400. Email Pompey at expressfm.com, use at expressfm on X, or visit facebook.com/PompeyLive. We want all of your thoughts from Friday's 3-1 victory at Adams Park and your score predictions for the big one tomorrow at Fratton Park. Pompey versus Derby County, a game we'll be previewing right here on 93.7 Express FM. A very good evening and welcome to the Football Hour.
The Football Hour.
Driven by Stagecoach across the South. Download the app now from the App Store or Google Play to view up-to-date timetable information and to prepay for your journey.
Express FM.
Yeah, good evening. A very big show coming up here on the Football Hour on Portsmouth Express FM between now and 7 o'clock. We'll have reaction, as we just heard there, from John Harley. We're going to hear from John Massino and his thoughts ahead of tomorrow's game against the Rams at Fratton Park. We're going to introduce our two guests, Tom Malley and Matt Corrick, on the Football Hour tonight. And we're also going to hear about a new mural that is being set up outside of Fratton Park. It's already been completed today, despite some adverse weather earlier this morning. And we're also going to hear from Pompey in the community, Taylor Monk, talking about the Pompey Amputees football team and also tomorrow's game against Derby County, which is the dedicated fixture to Pompey in the community. So plenty to cram in between now and 7 o'clock, which is when the Soft Rock Show returns with Jeff Dorsett. But we, of course, start with a revisit of what happened last time out for the Blues against Wickham Wanderers on Good Friday. And it was a very good Friday indeed for Portsmouth Football Club, who made 2 changes from the 1-0 victory away at Peterborough United just under a fortnight prior. Jack Sparks and Miles Pitt-Harris dropping out of the side, with Connor Ogilvie, a surprise inclusion, coming into the starting 11. We all thought he would have been missing from the game still with that injury. And Paddy Lane returning from international duty, which meant we had Will Norris in goal, a back 4 of Zach Swanson, Sean Raggett, Connor Shocknessy, and the returning there, Connor Ogilvie. Owen Moxon alongside the captain, Marlon Pack, with Abu Kamara, Christian Sadie, and Paddy Lane in behind Colby Bishop. Matt Macy, Joe Rafferty, Jack Sparks, Lee Evans, Gavin White, Miles Pitt-Harris, and Cassini Yenge on the bench. And you may remember, of course, from that Peterborough victory just over what is now 2 weeks ago, Paddy Lane and Joe Rafferty had missed out due to illness, but they were both back on Friday afternoon at Adams Park. Let's hear now how it all unfolded.
Every kick,
left foot, great delivery.
Every goal,
curling it past the goalkeeper.
Every game is right here.
Oh, I don't believe it!
Pompey Live.
What a moment for Pompey!
On Express FM.
Kamara skips past Potts, tries to go around Leahy, and does. That's great from Abu Kamara. And he drives the Portsmouth down the left. It's a really good run. He's up to the corner of the penalty area. He goes around another Kamara. Then he has to slow down. Thinks about the shot. Right footed, chips it in the middle. Bishop has got it into the back of the net. And Portsmouth have scored. Bishop gets number 17 for the season. There's only 2.5 minutes on the clock. But what wonderful work from Abu Kamara to make it. It's Wickham 0, Portsmouth 1. They've got it on the right edge of the penalty area. Labala's cross, deflect. It falls kindly to Wickham in the area. Chance, 1-1, equaliser. And it's Matt Butcher against Portsmouth. The Pompey fan, a fine finish with his left foot. Laid on a plate for him by Richard Kone. It's Wickham 1, Portsmouth 1. You find Sadie, and now Pompey have found Kamara down the right-hand side. And Kamara's passed Leahy into the box, cross into the middle. Shot, it's brilliantly finished by Colby Bishop. It's Kamara to Bishop again. It's another excellent finish. It's another assist from Abu Kamara. And Pompey have been up against it the last 20 minutes, but they strike quickly at the other end. Wickham 1, Portsmouth 2. Pack. It's got Shocknessy and Raggett both in there. It's thrown in the direction of Shocknessy. Ravazzoli drops it. Loose ball in the 6-yard box. Headed goalwards. Raggett, has he stabbed it over the line? No. And Ravazzoli falls on the ball, and it's a free kick to Wickham. Here we go, chance for Wickham. Leahy strikes it over the wall. It's hit the bar and gone onto the roof of the net. And it's a goal kick. Where can he find Bishop at the far post? Chipped in. Bishop trying to get there. Lombik heads away. Sadie! It's into the net! And Portsmouth will have a third. Christian Sadie. The ball came back to him. It was an effort of power over precision. And Christian Sadie is on target yet again for Pompey. It's Wickham 1, Portsmouth 3. We've played the 4 minutes. Kind of get the feeling you can just blow the whistle now. And that's exactly what Tom Neill does. Because Pompey are not over the line, but that finish line is getting closer and closer.
All the unmissable action. Pompey Live on Express FM.
Yes, the finish line is getting closer and closer for Portsmouth Football Club. Another victory on Friday afternoon. 3-1 victors over Wickham Wanderers at Adams Park. A very good Friday indeed for Pompey. Looking at the results elsewhere, Barnsley were defeated 2-0 at home to Cambridge United. Derby County 1-0 victors over Blackpool at Pride Park. Exeter City and Charlton sharing the spoils in a 1-1 draw at St James's Park. Fleetwood 1, Cheltenham Town 2. Lincoln City continue their incredible run of form with a 1-0 victory over Leyton Orient. Peterborough United defeated 3-1 at home to Carlisle United. Back-to-back home defeats for the Posh. Of course, Pompey winning there just over 2 weeks ago. Port Vale 2, Bristol Rovers 0. Reading 1, Northampton Town 0. Shrewsbury 1, Oxford United 1. Stevenage 0, Bolton 0. Wigan 1, Burton 1. And of course, Wickham Wanderers 1, Portsmouth 3. Of course, keeping Pompey at the top of League One. This is now where I would go through the updated League One standings. However, as it is Easter time, there have been even more games this afternoon. 11 matches taking place on this Easter Monday means the table has changed somewhat slightly. The complexion of it has just altered a teeny bit. Blackpool held by a goalless draw at home to Wickham Wanderers. Bolton were 5-2 winners at home to Reading. And elsewhere, Peterborough United 2-1 victors away at Leyton Orient. Of course, Derby didn't play because they play Pompey tomorrow. Elsewhere, Bristol Rovers 0, Shrewsbury 0, Burton 1, Barnsley 3, Cambridge 3, Wigan Athletic 1. Another victory for Lincoln City, 3-1 on the road at Carlisle United. Charlton 0, Stevenage 0, Cheltenham 1, Exeter City 2, Northampton 2, Port Vale 0, and Oxford United 4, Fleetwood Town 0. Now let's look at the League One tables, with Pompey playing tomorrow evening against Derby. It is first versus second at Fratton Park this time tomorrow. Pompey on top with 86 points on the board, having played 40 games. Derby County have played one game more with 41, 5 points behind Pompey on 81. Bolton are in third position, also having played 41 games. They are 8 points behind Pompey with 78 points on the board. Peterborough down in fourth have played only 40 matches, the same as the Blues. They are on 74 points, along with Barnsley, also on 74, also having played 40 games. Lincoln City make up the top six in 67 points. Joint points with Oxford United, both winners today, also on 76 points. Down at the bottom, Carlisle United narrowly escaped relegation today, with Burton Albion defeated at home to Barnsley. Carlisle stay in League One just by the skin of their teeth at the moment. 13 points behind safety, 27 points on the board right at the bottom of the table. They're joined alongside Fleetwood Town, Cheltenham Town and Port Vale, just outside, we mentioned there, Burton Albion on 40 points. Well, let's get the thoughts of our two studio guests, Phil, and we start off this evening with Mr. Tom Malley. Tom, a very good evening to you, sir. Thank you very much for calling in tonight.
Good evening, mate. No worries. How are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad. Thank you very much. Not too bad, Tom. I know you've actually been to a game today, haven't you? You've been to Aldershot. How did they get on today?
I have, mate. I did. I got my local football fix. They drew 1-1 with Dorking Wanderers, so not really a result either team that does either team any good. One's fighting for the playoffs and one's fighting relegation.
Hmm. Did see, actually, Alfie Rutherford was on the score sheet in that game, wasn't he? Former, of course, Pompey Academy product. Great to see you getting to a game, irrespective of Pompey not playing, Tom. Let's talk first about the permutations, then, because it's something we've got to clear up. We're going to come and talk about the actual Wickham game, of course, momentarily, Tom. Pompey, they may have gotten promoted this Saturday against Shrewsbury had it been for a Peterborough United, dropping points today away at Leyton Orient. But that wasn't to be the case. They were 2-1 victors. And the reason I say that, if Bolton Wanderers were to get 4 points out of today's game and Saturday, they don't have to lose both games. They don't have to lose any. They could win one and draw one. And Pompey beat Derby and Shrewsbury. And with Peterborough dropping points today, then Portsmouth would have been promoted on Saturday with a win at home to Shrewsbury Town, of course, considering if they beat Derby County tomorrow. But Peterborough were 2-1 winners over Leyton Orient today, meaning that even if Pompey beat Derby tomorrow night and beat Shrewsbury on Saturday, and even if Bolton dropped points in their game on Saturday afternoon, Pompey could not be caught by Bolton if that happens on Saturday. However, Peterborough United would be 18 points behind Pompey with 6 of their own matches left to play. The reason that wouldn't confirm promotion is because, of course, they can achieve 18 points, and the only reason they can't do so is because this weekend they are in EFL Trophy final action at Wembley against Wickham Wanderers. So we'll start off, Tom, with that bit of news. It's quite frustrating, isn't it? Because even if Pompey do the job and get those two victories over the line and Bolton don't win on Saturday, quite frustrating to see that promotion would pretty much be secured, but you know, it just won't be because Peterborough are in EFL Trophy final action.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, in my opinion, I think it near enough is secured. I think we're just waiting for official mathematical confirmation, really, aren't we? And it's obviously a lot of ifs and buts. It would have been great to be able to do it this weekend against Shrewsbury at Fratton Park in front of our own fans. But as you say, with Peterborough's result today, it's looking more likely that it could indeed be at Bolton at the earliest, I believe. So, it's one of them things, unfortunately. You know, the gap isn't quite big enough at the moment for us to secure it as soon as we'd like, despite being ahead of Bolton 11 points before they played today. But it's just one of them things. We just got to keep doing what we need to do, and that's to keep winning.
It is indeed. And alongside myself and Tom tonight, Matt Corrick also joins us over the powers of the internet. Matt, very good evening to yourself, sir.
Good evening, Jay. Great to be back. Hope you're doing well, mate.
Yep, fantastic. Thank you, Matt. It's great to have you. Pompey now, what is it, 13 unbeaten following that victory at Wickham on Friday afternoon. And it was a good Friday, wasn't it, Matt, for the Blues? And despite some early nerves, and we're going to come on to talk about the actual sort of events of the game in part two, a resounding victory and a comfortable one of that in the end, at least.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, it's always difficult playing a team that really haven't got that much to play for. You know, they're not going down. They haven't really got much shot at playoffs. So it's always a dodgy game to go and play those teams because they haven't really got much to play for. So the pressure's off. And also Adams Park hasn't really been a favourable place for Pompey over the years. But fantastic performance, great result. And yeah, it's just starting to firm things up now, really. And I think it shows the class we've got, Jake, to be honest with you, going out and doing the job the way we did.
And we are indeed going to get more from Tom and Matt, as well as hopefully you guys tuning in back home. 81400 is the number to text. Start your messages with Word Express. Download the ExpressFM app on your Apple and Android devices, or you can email pompey@expressfm.com and @ExpressFM on the social media channels. But first, we're going to hear some post-match reaction from Friday's 3-1 victory for Pompey at Adams Park. John Massinio had been sent to the stands. He had a one-game suspension following the collection of 3 yellow cards. cards throughout the campaign. He was replaced in the dugout as such by his assistant, John Harley, being communicated with by John Mussino in the stands. And after the game, Max Swatton caught up with John to get his assessment.
Well, John, welcome to press duty. How did you find that game?
It was enjoyable. Obviously, I think any game that we win, it's something to enjoy. And fortunately, I think always going into a 2-week break between games, it gets a little bit difficult. The boys are on a really good run, and it's just fortunate that all the hard work that's been put in over the past 2 weeks, we've managed to continue that momentum. Obviously, it's enjoyable to get the 3 points.
A goal 3 minutes in from Colby. What do you put that quick start down to?
Well, you say quick start. I think 2 minutes later, obviously, we conceded, which is frustrating. But I just look at the group, the characters within the group, they all know what it means to the club as a whole to go and to kick on for what we want to achieve this season. And, they've started really well. I think we was in a real good place. We were trying to get Zach and Abs on the ball down that right-hand side a little bit. And, it was really good from everyone, yeah.
It was two changes coming into the game. What was the thinking there?
It's really difficult from that angle. I think, looking at the Peterborough game, it was, I think, three, four days ago, we've sat down with Sparks. He's saying that was probably your best performance of the season. He was excellent, and that doesn't deserve to be taken out of the team. But that's ultimately the squad that we've got. And you can go through a number of players like Cass, Raffs, probably name everyone, where they do deserve to be playing. But I think that's ultimately what's driving this team forward. You know, we've probably got 22 players available who can come in and play, and the standards wouldn't drop at all. But fortunately, everyone wants to keep their place in the team, and you know, it's we just want to get that end goal.
You took a 2-1 lead into the break. What was the half-time message to the players?
I think actually from the first half, we did feel it was a little bit flat, and obviously the gaffer was allowed to come into the dressing room. So at half time, the key message was to try and just get a little bit more energy and be prepared for a fight, and you know, make sure it's just a real simple message about winning tackles. As simple as that sounds, that was the difference. I think everyone stood up to a man in that second half, and you probably look at the last 20 minutes of the game, and we were really comfortable.
Chris Sadie on the score sheet. I think everyone loves it when he's on target. How proud are you of him today?
Chris, again, in the dressing room just there, the gaffer spoke about how I think 8 weeks ago he wasn't, I think he might have been out of the squad completely, and just through hard work, training, doing everything right, he's just got himself into a position where he's starting games, he's affecting games, obviously scoring goals like today, and he, adding to that, is a real popular person around the place. I think the fans love him as well, so you know, everyone's really chuffed for him.
How did you find it down here in the technical area on your own without John up in the stands?
Well, after 2 minutes, I was really enjoying it. It dampened a little bit after that, but there wasn't too much of a change. We were all the communication between John and the technical area was quite straightforward. And not only that, the boys take care of themselves so much on the pitch. You know, I just keep speaking about the character of the group. There's leaders out there, so any issues they can deal with that. But it was quite a straightforward day.
What did you make of the support in the away end today?
Well, I think as soon as you say that, it's just you can't help but smile. Again, they were excellent. There's been games like the Peterborough game where it was a real difficult one, and they drove us, and you know, potentially without them, maybe we wouldn't have got that goal. But they really drove us forward. And again today, it's just, you know, it's almost like a party atmosphere in there. I've actually got my family come down to make an experience sitting in there today. So I'll speak with them after. But again, yeah, they were excellent, and they just non-stop throughout the game.
And how good was it to celebrate with them and the players in front of the away end at the end of the game?
Yeah, again, I just think winning any game is just a great feeling. But just to see what it means to everyone, and you know, just that momentum we've got going, we just want to keep it. And yeah, it's a really good atmosphere to have.
John Harley, assistant boss to John Mussino, there speaking with Max Swatton after Pompey's 3-1 victory away at Wycombe Wanderers on Friday afternoon. Matt Corrick alongside us here on the Football Hour tonight. Matt, clearly the absence of John Messini on the touchline on Friday afternoon not having as much or any of an impact on what happened on the pitch.
No, and I mean, John Harley's been fantastic, hasn't he, Jake, since he's walked through the door. You know, he's done it as a player and he's sort of brought that experience back through the door. And, you know, I think he's obviously knows how we've played all season. He's settled into that way with Messinio. And, yeah, it had no impact whatsoever. It just continued the trend that we've carried out all season, really. Mm.
Did indeed. Right, we're going to get more from Matt and Tom, of course, as well, between now and 7 o'clock. We're going to hear the pre-match thoughts of John Messinio to come later. Kirsty Roxanne also on the Football Hour this evening to take a look into tomorrow's opponents. And after the break, we're going to be speaking to both Mark and Keaton from Mewalls about what has been put up outside of Fratton Park this afternoon. And yes, I do mean Mewalls, not Murals, Mewalls. That is the name of their company. They'll be talking about the new legends that are outside the Pompey Club shop. And we'll also be speaking to Taylor Monk from Pompey in the Community about the Pompey Amputees and Tuesday night's dedicated PITC fixture at Fratton Park. That's all to come on the way next.
For the fans, by the fans. The Football Hour with Jake Smith on Express FM.
Go by bus. Go greener with Stagecoach.
Next stop, a cleaner, greener future. Did you know that if we all ditch the car and switch to a bus just once a month for a year, we'd save the UK 2 million tonnes of CO2?
Switch to bus, because by switching, you can make a big difference. Get on board a Stagecoach bus for a cleaner, greener future. For more information, go to switchtobus.com.
For the fans, by the fans. The Football Hour with Jake Smith on Express FM.
Yes, good evening. Welcome back tonight to the Football Hour here on Portsmouth's Express FM. You join myself, Jake Smith, alongside Tom Malley and Matt Corrick to go through all of the events from Friday's 3-1 victory for Pompey away at Wycombe Wanderers. And later on, we're going to be previewing the big, big visit of Derby County to Fratton Park tomorrow evening. But more on that later. And back to the reaction to Friday's win at Adams Park. And delighted to say Tom and Matt still with us this evening. Tom, let's start off then with the first goal of the game. Pompey taking the lead after just 3 minutes. Colby Bishop with a flick from Abu Kamara, his delivery from the right-hand side into Pompey's forward man for his 16th goal of the season. Took a wicked deflection off the Wickham player before going into the back of the net. But nonetheless, Tom, the kind of goal from open play that somebody like Colby Bishop will be very glad that he's got.
Yeah, definitely. Just sort of waiting in the box for those opportunities to get his foot on it or some form of contact to put it in the back of the net, as we went on to see with the second one as well. But yeah, a bit of a dodgy goal. It seems to take an age to go in after it sort of looped up and over the keeper. But yeah, Bishop is perfect for that sort of penalty box merchant kind of player. And that's exactly what he did.
It is indeed. 4 minutes later, Wickham equalised things through Matt Butcher. Portsmouth-born midfielder equalising with a pretty fiercely low-driven effort past Will Norris. Matt, ashamed to see at the time, Pompey not holding on to that lead for too long, and Wickham really flexing the kind of muscles they've got. They are a decent side, yes, 13th heading into kickoff, but you know they've got some real threatening players within that squad, and Matt Butcher is certainly one of them.
Yeah, I mean, they recruited well in January and had a bit of form behind them, didn't they? But, I mean, it was probably, to be honest, a really poor goal to concede at that moment. Lapse in concentration, which we haven't really done too often this season. But we just seemed to switch off that moment. Pack sort of had a bit of a spell giving the ball away and they just sort of penalised it, which, you know, it happens quite a bit in this league if you switch off for a moment, Jake.
It does indeed. Linda Mell has got in touch with the email, said enough of 3 points at Wickham on Friday, which at this stage of the season is crucial. Another good display. Nice to see Conor Ogilvie back, and Abu Kamara was outstanding as well. Colby Bishop back on the score sheet. Tomorrow's game against Derby is going to be a very hard one, and it'd be nice to ram, brackets, pardon the pun. I see what you did there, Linda. Paul Warne's words about Derby winning the title down his throat. I would settle for not losing against them. Results today didn't quite help us with a chasing pack at all winning. Play at Pompey. Thank you, Linda, for your email this evening. And yeah, let's talk about the fact then, Tom, that pre-match we were kind of expecting Conor Ogilvie, Christian Sadie to miss out. John Messinio saying in his presser last week that those two weren't going to be anywhere near the team due to, of course, Christian Sadie coming off at London Road. Conor Ogilvie's been out for a few weeks anyway. But Were you surprised to see both of them included in the starting 11 on Friday? Pleasantly surprised, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely. Especially, as you say, after Messina's comments in the week, and also having seen the way, sort of, say, limped off against Peterborough, definitely didn't expect him back in the starting 11 within 2 weeks kind of thing. But, you know, something's clearly worked. They've recovered well, and Sadie was well worth his start as well. So, yeah, no, it was a major boost, considering we picked up a few more little niggles and injuries here and there recently. So getting as many people back as you can at this stage of the season is crucial.
Mm. And Matt, just really emphasising how key a player Conor Ogilvie is to this side. If you didn't know already, Pompey have gone 385 days without losing if Conor Ogilvie has been included in the team. So, yeah, Portsmouth haven't lost a football match with Conor Ogilvie in the team for over a year. Matt, that is some incredible stat.
Yeah, I mean, he's just been outstanding since, really, we walked through the door. Jay, come in, you can't fault him. He's not your typical overlapping, get to the bar line type of wing back, but defensively he's so important, and he's so savvy as well. And yeah, I mean, it was great to have him back. Got to admit, I was a bit sort of like, well, okay, has this come a bit early, especially with Derby coming up on Tuesday? But yeah, I mean, it was probably great for him to get some game time, and hopefully he can take that into Tuesday and sort of deal with the sort of complete different task that he's going to have. But yeah, I mean, outstanding player. And I'm really delighted to have him, and hopefully he'll really take us into next season as well, Jake.
Yeah. Pompey took the lead back, Tom, on the 28th minute. Colby Bishop again from a cross in from the right-hand side from Abu Kamara. A bit of a carbon copy, actually, of that opening goal, wasn't it? Just without the deflection into the back of the net.
Yeah, it really was. And then again, it goes back to what I said about Bishop just being a perfect penalty box merchant, just waiting in there, ready to get his foot on anything he can. And it's not just him as well. It's the team build-up towards that. Kamara was cracking down the wing during the first half, especially in the lead-up to both goals. And yeah, it was just another good example of how we can counter-attack quite well, especially after conceding, you know, not long before. So yeah, no, it was good. And after that, I think we controlled the game pretty well. And yeah, you know, as I said, it was a well-taken finish.
Mm. Christian Sadie wrapping things up on the 67th minute. Matt thundering at home from around about 10 yards out. Was knocked down at the back post. Wickham failed to clear their lines from an Abu Kamara chip on the right-hand side. Didn't quite get the assist, a hat-trick of assists on Friday afternoon. But Christian Sadie with that closing goal. What does he bring to the team, in your opinion, Matt? What kind of edge does he bring to this side that maybe somebody else doesn't?
Oh, I mean, he's a completely different, I suppose, beast to anything else we've got, Jake. His physicality is unreal. That hold-up play, that strength, like taking the ball forward and beating defenders. And he's a delight to have in the team. And I've got to admit, I've been a big fan favourite of his since the start of the season when we brought him in. You know, I sort of even saw that Jamal Lowe had stated that he was like a really raw talent. And you can see that. But he just... he brings a completely different task and a completely different thought process for defenders to have to deal with. And I'm delighted for him. I'm delighted the last couple of games he's got his goals, and you know, he's going to hopefully take that sort of scoring run into the end of the season and cause more problems.
Right, that's pretty much it from our wrap-up of Friday's 3-1 victory for Pompey at Adams Park. We are really running out of time here on the Football Hour. So much to bring you between now and 7 o'clock. Now we move on to tomorrow evening. Derby County at Fratton Park is the challenge for John Messina's side. The first of two home fixtures this week. Of course, Shrewsbury Town make the trip down on Saturday afternoon. And before the game, if you're able to get to the ground that little bit earlier, do head to the club shop or just round the side of it, down that alleyway towards what would be the back of the Milton End. There is a new mural that has been put in place by a team called Muir Wolves, in line with the Pompey Supporters Trust. 2,418 Blues fans had voted in their recent fan survey for their top six Pompey legends they want to see on this mural, and just prior to coming on air, I've been speaking to both Mark and Keaton about the project. Yes, delighted this evening to be joined alongside Mark and Keaton from Murals. Mark, am I saying that correctly?
You're doing a really good job of it, because most people can't say it. It's a mashup of the word mural and walls.
Perfect.
So that's Muir Wolves, but no one can say it, so everyone calls it Muir Wolves or whatever. I don't care, as long as people are talking about us.
It's at Murals on Twitter, M-U-R WALLS. Mark, you've been at Fratton Park today, or just outside Fratton Park, the Pompey Club Shop and the ticket office. You've been painting alongside your team six legends on the side of the ticket office. Which legends are they?
So we have got Alan Knight, we've got Robert Prosaneski, we've got Guy Whittingham, we have got Linroy Primus, and Carnu and Paul Merson. Not in that order, but I was just trying to work it out. We got them all.
It's been a long day, Mark, and the weather, I guess, has held up pretty much for most of it as well, hasn't it?
You know what? We've been through all the seasons today. It's been absolutely incredible, but on the majority, it's been absolutely beautiful. We had one massive downpour, which did sort of put us to a halt for about half an hour, which was great. You know, we just had a little break and had something to eat, but it was absolutely hammering it down. But other than that, the sun's been out. It's been glorious.
And how many of you are on the team today?
So we had seven artists working on the project for this particular project. We've got a much bigger team, but it just depends from project to project. So, yeah, this one we had seven people.
And you brought Keaton alongside you today as well. Keaton, you're actually a bit of a local as yourself, actually.
I am, yeah. I've got a fair few bit of family in Fratton and, you know, local Pompey lads. So it was great to be able to work on the Fratton Park today.
Yeah, and delighted to see the faces on there as well. Delighted, of course, with where the men's team are going as things stand as well. What was it like for you being part of a project? And, of course, you've been part of many projects as part of Mewables down the years anyway. But this particular one, it had, bit, you know, like you say, that closeness to your heart.
Yeah, so it was really amazing to be in my hometown. Because I've been fortunate enough to go up quite far with Murals. And it was really nice to see some local, legends of the local team that I support. It was always great fun going up to Fratton Park with my mates. Always an amazing atmosphere out there. And now we've got an incredible modern day statue in the form of a mural outside the park.
And Mark, we mentioned there that, you know, Murals is based, it's not in Portsmouth, it's based in Essex, and you've been up and down the country working for many different clubs and many different clients. How long have you been going, and what's kind of been your biggest project so far?
Well, we started at the back end of 2019, and the original concept for Murals to bring street art into your homes. We were working with football clubs predominantly, and it was under licence. So Liverpool and West Ham were the first clubs that embraced the project. And we launched pretty heavily 2019. But then 2-3 months later, we went into lockdown because of COVID. And at that point, I realised that we had to sort of change direction because no one knew how long we were going to be unable to go into people's homes. And that's when we started doing some of the big outdoor stuff. We started with Liverpool. We'd done a huge piece for Liverpool when Jordan Henderson was lifting the trophy up. Yeah. We was out on a scissor lift on a house right next to the stadium in Anfield. Painted it through the night. The next day, Jordan came down with his dad and had his photos taken and signed the wall. And then later on that afternoon, I got a call from BBC saying, do you fancy painting for Match of the Day for the opener? And that was it. The rest is history. Yeah. The only bedroom we've done since then is Stephen Gerrard's son, so we don't do too many anymore. But it's the big ones with exposure that makes it very interesting. And in regards to which is our favourite, I love them all, to be honest with you. Yeah. I think they're all brilliant because they've all got different stories, and I love going from different clubs as well because this is the first one we've done at Portsmouth. Yeah. And we got to meet local people and talk to local people about what it means to them, and just to see how they embrace the club and their loyalty and passion towards it. It's pretty special.
And you'll have the likes of Guy Whittingham and Alan Knight at the mural tomorrow evening prior to kickoff between Pompey and Derby County at Fratton Park. So it'd be great to see their sort of reaction to seeing it in the flesh as well. It is, of course, able to see Pompey fans. It is ready for you to look at. You can't really hide much of a wall, can you? It's there in the flesh, just outside of the club shop. Keaton, six legends on that wall then. In your opinion, who was the hardest to paint, or were you sort of assigned to one individual in particular?
So on this project, there was six portraits. So you had six artists. I was sort of like a supporting artist today. I think being a local lad, I was helping out with little bits around the piece. Yeah. In my opinion, you know, every portrait's tricky, but it's amazing to see all the other artists tackle it in their own style, in their own way, and the way it all comes together in one piece is just incredible.
I think every single one has its own challenges, but it's all down to the reference images as well. And some of the older players, i.e. Guy Whittingham and Alan Knight as well, it was quite hard to find images that are quite sharp that we could use as references as you kind of come to the more up-to-date players, then it's a little bit easier to find them. But I think that I'd say probably Alan Knight would have been pretty tricky. I'd say Kanu as well was a little bit more challenging. But to be honest with you, the guys have done an absolutely fantastic job for it. All we always concentrate on is making sure that you've got that likeness there. It's really important for us. There's nothing more worse than getting negative comments on social media, but you're kind of open to it on social media. We very rarely do get it, so we're pretty lucky and blessed in that side. But the comments and everyone walking past has been absolutely amazing. I did see one comment earlier, someone saying that I don't think Paul Merson would be impressed with that. And 2 seconds later, I look at my phone and Paul Merson's retweeted it. So I'm like, well, there you go. And actually, I think they're all equally as good as each other, but I think the Paul Merson one's smashed it. Absolutely incredible in terms of the likeness and stuff. So, yeah, well happy overall with the whole project. And now it's about the players themselves and also the fans making sure that when they see it in the flesh, because seeing it in the photo compared to seeing it in flesh, it is very different. I think they both look great, but in the flesh, it's always going to be that much better. So I look forward to seeing everyone's reaction tomorrow.
So you just heard there from Mark Silver and Keaton as well, speaking about the new mural that is outside of Fratton Park. It's just round the corner from the Pompey Club shop and the ticket office on that wall down that alleyway. If you haven't seen it already, Blues fans, it truly is spectacular. I urge you to go and have a look if you haven't done so already. Before you head into Fratton Park tomorrow, go and take a gander. It looks spectacular. Right, we are now going to hear from Taylor Monk from Pompey in the Community. Tomorrow's fixture between Pompey and Derby County is dedicated to PITC, and Taylor's been talking to me all about that. But first, the Pompey Amputees team, who recently won the EAFA League Cup last weekend. He's been telling me all about that.
Yeah, so that's now the sixth trophy that the squad have won together. So a little bit different to your typical domestic football season. They break the calendar up and host a dedicated day to the League Cup, which is what we come away with. And I think that's now 3 years in a trot we've been able to keep hold of that trophy. The head coaches, Pat and Callum, have done a fantastic job. So like I said, I think that's the sixth trophy as a management team and the squad we've got have won. So 10 goals across two games. Very dominant performance in what's going to be a very tightly contested league as well.
Yeah, and season upon season, we're seeing the team up there and winning league titles, challenging in cup finals too, and earlier in this year, involved in a Champions League campaign as well. Just unable to reach the final, but a proud effort and achievement nonetheless. Something I'm sure a lot of learnings can be taken from.
Yeah, we jokingly talk about this. This is a proper sort of part to Prem story. So the team was originally set up by Ray Resbert, who's obviously quite a well-known character down here. Training in a field, obviously, which isn't ideal for an amputee and a pair of crutches, to eventually representing England at a Champions League and 20 seconds away from taking a professional team in Wisla Krakow to extra time. So a little bit of heartbreak from that. But one, it was more importantly, it was an unbelievable opportunity experience for the group. Unfortunately, we won't be representing Champions League this season. But like you said, you've alluded to, it's a very strong league. We're currently sat top of that league at the moment. Thankful to a win over Everton and Chelsea in the last round of fixtures. So, yeah, we'd love to be out there again in 2025. So we'll see what happens.
How much work goes on behind the scenes to organise these games, these events, all kinds of different competitions? Because when you do look in from the outside, there's not much money involved, or not as much money involved or support in comparison to, you know, of course, men's senior football. So what kind of funding do you get to try and help out?
Bruce Lee, no. So in terms of the generic game, if I talk globally, sort of Turkey and Poland have professional leagues televised. And then you compare it to England, where it's headed up by a charity who's not affiliated to the Football Association. So they are reliant on their own internal sourcing of fundraising, which has been very difficult in probably the last couple of years. In terms of our support, Portsmouth, we've been really fortunate that the club helped us source a sponsor in Echo. Echo helps us bankroll the Champions League, and as well as various donations typically associated with the charity as well. That's helped us operate. We are, I liken us a little bit to the old Wimbledon Crazy Gang. So because of the pool of players is very sparse, obviously we're not all based down in Portsmouth. Our goalkeeper's in Carlisle, we have players over in West Sussex. So for those that are local, training's offered once a week. We're really fortunate, like I said, we've got two head coaches in Pan and McCatt who've really thrown themselves in the deep end with it and learned a lot about the sport. We have a fantastic physio, Millie, who comes out and supports and offers some real specific work and rehab with the group. And then we're really fortunate to have Tim Cobb, who's actually the academy player care officer at Portsmouth. He comes across and volunteers as well, looking more at the psychological part of the game. So in terms of us as a club, we're a very unique model. It's very much a club. The charity's all behind us. We've been really appreciative that we had some donations from the wider community to that got us to the Champions League. We still need those donations to carry on, but it's, yeah, very much, without being too cliche, a community effort.
Excellent stuff. And on to the game between Pompey and Derby at Fratton Park. It is dedicated to Pompey in the community, and we're told that as part of that, we'll be seeing big screen graphics and artwork created by school pupils for when players are mentioned, if they are scored or subbed off, etc. Could you tell us a bit more about why this fixture is dedicated to PITC and what else fans can expect to see on the night?
Yeah, it's probably the first one after COVID that we've really tried to put a little bit of thought behind. Obviously, there's quite a backlog in terms of what the game's expectations are in terms of the overall picture for the club and potential promotion, dare I say it. But it's mainly to bring the charity into focus. We try to be a little bit clever of how we do that. So obviously we support and lead on the fan zone, which is behind the Fratton end. So we'll be there as normal with the DJ, the inflatable and some other activations where fans can come and find out some of probably our really left field activities we have going on there. The amount of people turn around and go, we didn't even realise you deliver that. So there'll be stuff around weight loss, healthy living, dementia. Various activities going on there. In terms of the media, we've been really supported by Max and Neil at the media team at the club. So local schools could draw, and draw was a very creative way of putting it, if I'm honest, with some of the entries we had. So hopefully you'll see a couple of goals from Pompey and they'll be highlighted with some of the creation, shall I say, from young people across the city. We've got some very budding artists as well. We've got some very creative ideas. We might see one on the Match Day programme as well, hopefully.
Taylor Monk there from Pompey in the community, talking about the Pompey amputees, their recent cup victory, and tomorrow's dedicated fixture to PITC against Derby County. That's a match we'll be previewing after a break, where we'll also hear the thoughts of Pompey boss John Bassino on tomorrow night's opponents, as well as his own team too.
I've been involved in loads of different squads over the years, and in, you know, even from the coaching position and not being directly involved in it, I think this is a really special group.
Stick around for the conclusion of the Football Hour coming up after this.
For the fans, by the fans. The Football Hour with Jake Smith on Express FM.
Whether you're out with your mates, catching the latest blockbuster, or just enjoying late night bus rides, from 7 p.m. every day, you can take advantage of a Night Rider ticket, taking you from A to B and everywhere in between. Simply purchase your Night Rider ticket on the bus or using the Stagecoach app to get unlimited travel anywhere on the whole of the Stagecoach South for just £2.50. The world is your oyster. Visit stagecoachbus.com for timetable and ticket information.
For the fans, by the fans. The Football Hour with Jake Smith on Express FM.
Yes, good evening. Welcome back for the final time tonight to the Football Hour here on Express FM, brought to you, as you've just heard there, by Stagecoach Across the South. Right, the Rams, Derby County are up next for Pompey, match day number 41. And this one is a big one. It is first versus second in League One. Paul Warren's side make the long trip down on a Tuesday night to Fratton Park. And Kirsty Roxanne, who's now been part of the Pompey Live team for 12 months, has been giving us a bit more of an insight into the opponents.
The Blues extended their unbeaten run to 13 league games with a Good Friday away win at Adams Park.
This week's opposition.
A brace from Bishop and a strike from Sadie saw the Blues win 3-1 at Wickham. The gap between Pompey and second place Derby remains at 5 points as we head back to PO4 when John Messino's side take on none other than Derby themselves in front of the Sky cameras for the second time this season.
Manager.
Paul Warren is a man in the dugout for the Rams. The midfielder started his professional career at the age of 23 when he signed for Wigan, before moving to Rotherham, where he played over 250 games in all competitions. Warren also played for Oldham and Yeovil with loan spells at Kettering and Mansfield too. He finished his playing career at former club Rotherham in 2012. He joined the coaching staff at Rotherham upon his retirement in May 2012, and then, following the resignation of Kenny Jackett, Warren was appointed caretaker manager of Rotherham. During his time as full-time manager, he won three promotions to the Championship in 2018, 2020 and 2022, with two relegations to League One in 2019 and 2021, before leaving the club in September 2022. He also won the 2022 EFL Trophy Final. Warren was officially announced by Derby County as their new head coach on a four-year deal in September 2022.
One to watch.
Our one to watch is number 9, James Collins. Colin started his career at Aston Villa, however, he failed to break into the first team. He has also represented a number of teams in the English Football League and Scottish Premiership, including Luton and Cardiff, most recently. The 33-year-old signed a two-year contract for Derby in July 2022, and in his first season, he scored 12 goals in 52 games during the 2022-23 season. Collins has also represented Ireland at under-19 and under-21 levels. The striker has accumulated 13 league goals so far this campaign and made one assist from his 33 appearances for the Rams.
Top scorer.
The Rams' current top goal scorer is Nathaniel Mendes-Lang. He began his career with Wolverhampton Wanderers, making his professional debut in 2009 at age 19. After loan spells to Peterborough and Sheffield United, he joined Peterborough on a permanent deal in 2012. Mendes-Lang made 60 appearances for the Posh with loan spells at Portsmouth, Shrewsbury and Cambridge before joining Rochdale. He joined Cardiff and helped the side win promotion to the Premier League in his first season. The winger also played for Middlesbrough and Sheffield Wednesday before signing a two-year deal with the Rams. Mendes-Lang has also represented England at under-16 and under-17 level before declaring for Guatemala in 2023. The 31-year-old has scored 24 goals in all competitions, currently sitting as the second top goal scorer in League One. He also has 16 league assists this season. Mendes-Lang wears the number 11 shirt.
Current form.
Paul Warne's side are currently sat in the automatic promotion places in second, accumulating 81 points from 41 games. The Rams have played one more game than Pompey with a plus 35 goal difference compared to the Blues, plus 33. Derby's last games have brought them four victories and one defeat. Their only loss was against Northampton Town last Saturday when they also went down to 10 men. Ex-Pompey defender Sonny Bradley shown a straight red card in the 10th minute of injury time. In the reverse this fixture at Pride Park, the game ended in a 1-1 draw thanks to a late goal from Bishop to gather a point. Can Pompey secure another 3 points at Fratton Park in front of the Sky cameras? All of the immissable action on Pompey Live.
Yes, thank you, Kirsty. Taking a closer look into Derby County, tomorrow's opponents at Fratton Park. You just heard of Sonny Bradley suspended for the game following a straight red received against Northampton Town a week ago on Saturday. He's still serving that ban. And a shame from a Pompey perspective to see Nathaniel Mendes-Lang and James Collins both back in action for Derby on Good Friday. They have been feared to miss the game at Fratton Park tomorrow, but they're both back within the Rams' train. So a big boost for Derby County. But will there be a big boost for Pompey as far as their own injury concerns are, well, concerned? George Wedlake has been down to the training ground earlier today to speak to head coach John Bassino, who after that win at Wickham on Good Friday was asked how the rest of the Easter weekend has been for the team.
It's been good. It's just been business as usual. So I know it's a holiday and it's a bank holiday for everyone, but we were back in on Saturday. We did the post-match. We got everything out of the way. And once that was done and we'd done all the recovery bits, it was just onto Derby. So a bit of a different one, I think, for everyone. We did want the lads to go home and spend a bit of time with their families on Sunday. But apart from that, it's just the demands of the game. Everybody knows that Christmas and Easter are probably the two busiest periods of the season. And it's business as usual.
The scenes at full time again, amazing. There seems to be a real sense of unity between the players, the staff and the fans. How is it to be a part of that at the moment?
I mean, it's great. I probably missed a bit of it on Friday, to be honest, not being involved in it. It was different watching from the stands. I quite enjoyed it. Probably helped that we won the game. But felt slightly distant from that. It was nice to just to see post-match and to see online how everybody's celebrated and everyone has celebrated together. And I think it's a real hallmark of the group, especially when you have John stepping in and you can see how popular he is alongside the rest of the staff. And when you have players like Christian Sadie, I think you can tell what a favourite he is amongst all the boys. He has had an excellent season in terms of what I think of it, but probably Christian having dropped in and out, particularly around January when he dropped out of the squad, he was probably a bit frustrated with that. So to see him coming back in and making such an impact, I just mentioned that to sum up how close the squad is and how tight-knit the group is. And I've been involved in loads of different squads over the years. And even from the coaching position and not being directly involved in it, I think this is a really special group.
Abu Kamara, off the pitch, it's been quite tough for him over the past week or so with certain comments that were made, but for him to put in that performance on Good Friday and just play as well as he did is testament to his character, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know, I think Abu dealt with everything brilliantly well last week, and you know, we spoke to him on Thursday just to make sure he was in the right frame of mind, and he was great. He was in a really good spot, and thankfully he continued that on into Friday. I thought he was superb on Friday. He was a real threat constantly throughout the game. Again, we're really greedy and really picky, and we want to push Abs onto the next level as well. So the next part of that for Abs is to make sure that when he has those opportunities in the second half as well, he maybe puts one in the back of the net for himself. Two brilliant assists, really involved in the third goal, and just a threat throughout. So really happy with Abs.
Are we likely to see any more imminent returns before Tuesday in terms of injuries?
No, we haven't got none of the sort of longer termers apart from all of the ones I've mentioned there. I think Tom Lowry is going to be slightly too soon, although he's trained over the past couple of days. So as it stands at the moment, it'll be a very similar squad to select from.
In terms of new injuries to report, anything off the back of the Wickham game?
No, nothing really that's too concerning. We've got a couple that are 50-50, a couple of fitness tests tomorrow. Obviously not going to name who they are, but I think that's just a consequence of playing those games back-to-back. So, yeah, we'll have to see how they settle down tomorrow.
Next up, Derby under the lights at Fratton Park on Tuesday. A lot of people saying this is the biggest game of the season. Do you feel that, or is every game just as big as the next now?
Over the past few weeks, every game's felt like the biggest game of the season. Without a doubt, Friday felt like the biggest game of the season. Peterborough before that felt like the biggest game. When we went away to Blackpool, then we came back home to Burton. They were all just massive importance on these games at this time of the year. So they all do. I think there's added intensity, I suppose, to this game tomorrow night because it's first versus second, because it's under the lights, because it's on Sky. So, yeah, there's plenty of factors, I think, that feed into that. To be honest, every game from now until the end of the year for us is going to be the biggest game of the year.
What are your expectations for the game? What do you think of Derby?
Derby are an excellent side. They're up there for a reason, and they're in really good form. I know they slipped up against Northampton the other week, but they're in terrific form, and they've put themselves in a very, very strong spot in terms of the league position, beating Blackpool at home at the weekend. They beat Bolton at home the other week, and they've got a side that's littered with championship players and championship quality. So we expect a very tough test with a head coach who's got a huge amount of experience of getting sides out of this league, and I think it's going to be a terrific game.
And you're going to be back in the dugout for this one. Does that add to the excitement for you?
Not really. I mean, I wasn't any less excited going into the game on Friday. I think it's nice to be back and have a bit of normality, but that's the only thing I think would be different.
And did I hear people singing Super John Harley at the weekend? What do you think of that?
Yeah, quite right. You know, I think John's a really popular character here. I think he was anyway. You know, I think when he played here, maybe it wasn't the greatest of times for the football club, but always a very, very popular guy around the place. And anybody that speaks to him knows that he brings a smile to everybody's face. And I think he's just a massive amount of positivity and energy that comes from him. So, it was nice. It was nice to do something different. And from my point of view, I don't know if you guys saw from where you were sitting, but it was quite a relaxing game for me. Not just because of the state of the game, but I just thought, right, I'm up here. It's not a huge amount I can do. I can speak through the microphone a few times, but I trust the players and I trust the staff to get on with the job.
John Messina there speaking ahead of tomorrow's game against Derby County at Fratton Park. Needless to say, Tom Malley, this is a huge match coming up.
Yeah, absolutely massive for both clubs. Obviously, we wanted to maintain our gap towards from Bolton in third, and Derby kind of wanted to also do the same, but also try and catch us for the title. So it's going to be a huge, huge game. Sky cameras are there. Everyone's going to be watching. Right under the lights. I mean, it couldn't be a bigger occasion if it tried.
No. And Pompey, with their somewhat, 12, 13, 14 injuries at the moment, you kind of lose count at this stage, don't you? They're not as bad as Bolton, though. Ian Evatt, with a quote from the weekend, with their 6 injuries, we're going into fights with a water pistol rather than an armada. They were 5-2 victors over Reading at the Tough Sheep Community Stadium earlier today. So, Ian Evatt, well, if you want to talk about injuries, come down to Fratton Park because we've got a lot, but we're still just getting on with it. John Messina makes no excuses, does he? Right, score predictions for tomorrow's game. Very quickly, let's start off with Matt Corrick. What do you reckon? Pompey against Derby County. Will this be a win?
I'm actually calling a draw. I think this is going to be a bit of a tight affair, but I think that will probably suit us more than it will Derby. So, yeah, I'll take a 1-1 on this one, Jake.
1-1 says Matt. Tom, what do you reckon?
I think we'll win this 2-1. I'm optimistic.
Oh, very nice. Optimistic from Tom. Optimistic from Matt. I think a lot of us will take a draw. Maybe. I don't know. Depends on what happens on Saturday. Right. You can join the Pompey Live team for all of the unmissable action tomorrow evening for an 8 o'clock kickoff Pompey vs Derby from 7 o'clock.
Here we go.
Pompey Live.
Pompey took another huge step towards the championship with 3 points away at Wickham.
Lombik heads away. Sadie! It's into the net! Port will have a third. Christian Sadie.
Their title credentials will be tested at home to second place Derby County next at Fratton Park. All of the unmissable action Tuesday night from 7.
Every kick, every goal, every game is right here on Express FM, Pompey Live.
With Aquacars.
Yeah, that's right. Do not be fooled. 8 p.m. kickoff at Fratton Park tomorrow night between Pompey and Derby County. It is on the Sky Sports cameras, but of course, do listen in to Pompey Live here from 7 p.m. Right, coming up next here on Express FM, a soft rock show with Jeff Dorset coming between 7 and 9, which is when that 80s show with Kev Stokes returns from 9 through until 11 o'clock tonight. I'll be back with Football Hour this coming Friday to review all of tomorrow night's action at Fratton Park and to preview the game against Shrewsbury Town, also at Fratton Park this coming Saturday. A big thank you to our two studio guests, Tom Malley, for joining us on the Football Hour. Tom, thank you very much for your contributions tonight.
No worries, mate. Always a pleasure. Thank you.
And Matt Corrick also for calling in. Matt, a pleasure as always, my friend.
And to you, Jake. Great being on again and hopefully speak to you soon.
Well, I'm sure we will indeed very, very soon. Right, that is it for tonight's show. Like I say, I'll be back on Friday with two more Pompey fans to go through all of the latest coming out from Fratton Park. But until then, good night from me. Next up, Jeff Dorset.